from Everywhere USA. It's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, yes, it sure is, and we are fired up for a big hour on Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Fox News contributor Giano Caldwell, damn good friend of the show, guy who likes to tell it like it is, stops by. He's going to weigh in on what he considers to be race baiting by the Democratic Party. Giano, of course, speaking as a black American.
Do you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump and you ain't black?
Somebody better tell Joe Biden it's time to start taking away membership badges again because Giano and a host of voters like himself see through the charade that's playing out in this country right now. 888-788-9910 is our phone number. 888-788-9910. You always have to repeat it because of autocorrect. That's the problem. It's not texting and driving. I drove a cab for a long time. I'm not advocating it, obviously. But autocorrect is the problem with texting and driving. Because that's, you know, you type one thing, autocorrect changes the meaning of a word or the spell. Now you got a big problem. The other day, you know, I get Jenny Failla coming home from the store. I drink tea at night because Lou Dobbs told me that I'm supposed to drink tea and take care of my voice now that I'm a radio guy. That's a true story. Lou sat me down. He gave me a scarf. I mean, what a great guy. Like, really, though. One of my favorite moments of my career, and had like a constructive, you know, blueprint for how to do this sort of thing moment with me that I really appreciated it. And he's like, make sure you get honey in your tea every night. So two nights ago, Jenny Failla's coming home from Stop and Shop. I text, bring home some honey. Autocorrect changes it to bring home some hookers.
What the hell did you just say?
I'm not kidding. And I got to be honest. Bring home some hookers. I know there's a lot of new people out there that are just married and you're just kind of learning the ropes. Never the best message to send to your wife.
Correctamundo.
So, yes, I am always mindful of the autocorrect on this show when I give out a phone number or I give out a website. The phone number, of course, 888-788-9910. Getting ready to talk to Giano about the mess in Washington. Okay, President Trump preparing to stick the landing on what has been a incredibly accomplished 4 years in Washington, despite the melee, despite the food fight. You know, the Democrats really did turn the last 4 years of our lives into a Real Housewives episode. Yeah, Trump tweeted a lot. But the Democrats were out there telling us, you know, that not only he was the worst guy in the world, but they were attacking his supporters. You know, that's the big problem in our country right now. We've always had political divides. We've never gone after the voters. You know, politicians always say like, oh, my opponent's bad or his policies are no good. But we've never had, politicians be like, oh, and the voters are dirtbags. They're deplorables. They're white supremacists. They're irredeemable. And that is very much their attitude towards you. And they're trying to make you go away. They don't think you have the right to exist because you're not as smart as them. You people who don't live on the coasts and pay $8,500 a month for a studio apartment. You're not smart like they are. You people in your affordable houses with your outstanding chain food, your low cost of living, and your stress level that's 90% lower than ours. You guys are the dumb ones. We're the smart ones. People who have to have 9 roommates to afford a 1-bedroom apartment. You can't walk 3 feet without stepping in pee on the sidewalk. I wish it wasn't true. But the point is, the people living that life are the ones that think you guys are dumb. And it's the craziest, it's the craziest time to be alive. Because Twitter, social media as a whole, Facebook, the partisan food fight we are engaged in, anything that gets you emotional denies you self-awareness. You're too focused on what's bothering you to think about how your actions look to other people.
Bingo.
And that's why, you know, when it comes to the Democrats, they're out here saying, oh, we got to unite this country. We got to unite this country. And they don't realize they sound crazy when they say things like, we've got to unite this country, all of these white supremacists, neo-Nazis, we've got to unite. So come our way. They don't mean unite. They mean conform. They mean shut up and do what they say. So yes, it is a mess right now, but it is not a mess, I promise you, that Donald Trump made. Okay? Does he have divisive rhetoric? Yes. Did he tweet like a madman? Absolutely. I have told you before, I believe, as someone who follows Donald Trump on Twitter, that some of the things he tweeted were so insane to me, as someone who agrees with him, that I very much think his strategy was born out of the movie Bull Durham. If you watch the movie Bull Durham, there's a scene where Crash Davis comes to the mound, talks to Nuke, Epi Calvin Lelouch, and tells the young pitcher with the $10 million arm to hit the mascot. He's like, forget about the batter. I want you to hit the mascot with this next pitch. And he's like, what are you, nuts? And he's like, no, it's so insane. It'll keep all of your opponents off base. It'll keep them off kilter. I very much believe Donald Trump's Twitter strategy in the last 4 years from time to time would be to hit the mascot. Just throw one into the bleachers and pelt the guy in the costume and throw everybody off of whatever the heck, you know, they wanted to be focused on. And it's the only way I can explain a lot of the things he tweeted. But that being said, his tweets, if you read them for exactly the way they were worded, his statements, if you listened to them for exactly the way they were worded, okay, were not what the Democrats distilled to the public. To give you an example, 2015, Trump comes down an escalator with Melania. Most incredible first lady we'll ever have. Media totally shuns her. She doesn't get a single solitary magazine color cover because she's not a liberal.
I think he's got a point.
I'm telling you the truth, okay? Think about what Melania Trump is to the media. She is a self-made millionaire immigrant, supermodel. And let's be very clear. She was rich before she met Donald Trump because she was a $10 million supermodel. So this is not like, oh, she's just riding, you know, married up, some gold. Melania Trump, who speaks five languages, who immigrated to this country and made herself $10 million, is the epitome of the American dream. But because Donald Trump is not their dream, she gets completely shunned by the media. We go 4 years pretending we don't even have a first lady. That's the way they looked at it. But again, that is their distortion of who she is. But back to Donald Trump and his words. When Donald Trump came down the escalator in June 20th, 2015, and made his comments about why he was launching his candidacy, his bid for the White House, he never said the words, all Mexicans are drug dealers and rapists. It never, ever happened that way. Did he give a soundbite that wasn't ideal? Sure did. Okay. He never said, drink bleach, you'll be fine. But that became the prevailing sentiment. Just like today, in this moment, where the entirety of our capital is barricaded, like, you know, as a lot of the war correspondents are calling it, the green zone in Iraq. Okay. Donald Trump never said the words, storm the Capitol and rip it apart. He said, go down there and peacefully protest. But again, the media, over the course of 4 years, has gone so far out of their way to distort the things he has said for political gain. But when they do that, in an era where people's emotions are their facts, they are, in fact, inflaming tensions in society with no regard for how that'll affect you and me.
That's just how white folks will do you.
Okay, what's the big talk right now about impeachment? What is the big talk? It was rhetoric that endorsed violence. We can't have a guy in office with toxic, dangerous rhetoric. Tell me if this clip I'm about to play you from a prominent Democrat sounds like it's coming from a person concerned about violence. Here's clip 15.
And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
Oh, that really didn't sound like a call to calm. You see him in a restaurant, crowd him, get in their face. And if you think I'm just cherry-picking Maxine Waters, yeah, here's a couple more Democrats. You might hear some Maxine Waters along the way, but listen to this one. It's clip 14.
Yes, I have thought an awful lot
about blowing up the White House.
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
How dare he say the things he does? Of course I want to punch him in the face.
Right.
You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there's unrest in our lives.
You'll see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station. You get out and you create a crowd.
When they go low, we kick them.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country, and maybe there will be.
I'll put Mr. Burgess up against Sean Hannity. He'll tear him up.
The press always asks me, don't I wish I were debating him? No, I wish we were in high school. I could take him behind the gym. That's what I wish.
I'm surrounded by idiots.
Those are the people who are concerned about violent rhetoric. The ones that want to beat Trump up behind the gym. The ones that want to put Burgess up against Sean Hannity. Look, I'm not trying to become Don King and be Sean's fight promoter. But I have to talk about that one for a little bit because it's the epitome of everything they're accusing Donald Trump of. It's the classic exercise in projection. We don't like the rhetoric. We're going to have our guy fight Sean Hannity. Listen, Sean Hannity, as radio shows go, I told him that when he was on this show. As radio shows go, he is an ocean dreamliner. I am an inflatable raft. He's a big boy. He can fight his own battles. He doesn't need my help. But I have to call out the insane hypocrisy of that. Okay? If you're going to tell me the problem is the rhetoric, the out of control talk, you've got to, at some point, instead of getting a pen to write up these impeachment articles, get a mirror. Listen to yourselves. This Eric Swalwell clip I played yesterday, let's play this again. Remember, Swalwell's an impeachment manager. He couldn't manage to figure out that he was dating a Chinese spy, unbeknownst to him. But he's managing an impeachment, and he tells us that Donald Trump's toxic rhetoric is the reason he has to go. Listen to who he compares Donald Trump to. This is clip three.
Osama bin Laden did not enter U.S. soil on September 11, but it was widely acknowledged that he was responsible for inspiring the attack on our country. And the president, with his words, using the words fight, with the speakers that he assembled that day, who called for trial by combat and said we have to take names and kick ass. I'm comparing the words of a individual who would incite and radicalize somebody, as Osama bin Laden did, to what President Trump did.
What would you do with a brain if you had one?
Eric Swalwell, not only is it the dumbest thing I've ever heard, but he has to remind you at the end of the statement of just how dumb this thing he is that he's doing. We're impeaching a guy because of toxic political rhetoric. And then you go out and call the guy Osama bin Laden, the guy who attacked the World Trade Center. Like, really?
Are you out of your mind?
I have to ask, are you out of your mind? And then he points it out. I'm comparing a guy who radicalized people and inspired a terrorist attack with the president of the United States. Yeah, we know you are. Because our brains exploded when we heard the stunning level of weapons-grade stupidity you bestowed upon that microphone. Like, how did, in what world did Eric Swalwell's brain look at the game of conversational Scrabble and decide that those were the words he should put together? We need to tone down the rhetoric in Washington. That's why we're getting rid of Osama bin Laden. My gosh, I'm in such a good mood. But these people are so stupid. And I just keep pointing it out, man. And I know I said this earlier in the week. A lot of you are nervous about how the Democrats are going to overrun the country. They're too stupid, man. They don't know what they're doing. Get focused. 2022, we got midterm elections. 2024, we've got a presidential election. People don't stand a chance. They don't have a plan to run this country. They have a plan to yell at Trump. The fact that they're impeaching him after he leaves office tells you everything they need to know. If Trump's gone, they have nothing to yell and scream at and distract you from their own ineptitude. Better believe it. Fast break back after this.
The show that loves you like a sibling.
We'll always be brothers.
It's Fox Across America with Brother Jimmy Failla.
Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, 888-788-9910. Giano Cole is coming up, Fox News contributor. I'm taking some heat on Twitter. Craig Morrison, Attorney Craig. Isn't like the way I pronounce Silicon Valley. I know it's Silicon Valley, but it always comes out that way. And he wrote it's pronounced Silicon Valley, not Silicon Valley. Craig, I am not convinced. But no, I appreciate you keeping an eye on my diction. You deserve good diction. You know, you're going to come be nice enough to listen to the show every day. I'll call myself out on that one, Craig. Saddled up, Wade Whitmore. Makes a really good point here. Wade's, of course, a legendary FedEx driver, according to his Twitter feed. Says what they're doing to Donald Trump is retaliatory. They want to show what'll happen if someone wants to come to D.C. as an outsider and change their way of doing things and expose them. He says, I don't really hear anyone talking about this angle. Well, Wade, if you weren't out dropping off packages last week, watching out for them damn porch pirates, you might have heard me say that. The treatment of Donald Trump on the way out the door is a message. It's not about Trump. It's about the people who are left behind. I agree with you, Wade. It's a good point. You know, Donald Trump walked in as an outsider. He took on his entire party establishment. He took on the entire Democratic Party establishment. You know, all of the political dynasties, the Bushes, the Clintons, okay, the modern media political dynasties like the Obamas. He took on all of Hollywood, took on all of late night comedy. He took on most of the sports world, and he won. The Donald Trump presidency in 2016 will go down in history as the political equivalent of the last scene in Scarface, where they surround Tony Montana, say hello to my little friend, but he blasts his way out alive. Donald Trump got a presidency. And, you know, we've been living with that for 4 years now, but when this is over, through the fog of, you know, political war that we've been fighting for 4 years, you're going to realize the significance of that. This guy, who was part of the fabric of our country, you know, real estate developer, you know, big name TV celebrity, someone who was super tight with Oprah, someone who was always on The View, you know, all the people who aligned against him. Everybody liked Donald Trump. He was part of the fabric of America. He was part of polite society, even if he himself wasn't always polite. But the bottom line is, once he ran for president and it was no longer politically expedient to be okay with his demeanor, everybody was like, oh, this is not the Donald I knew. I never knew Donald Trump to be like, would you show? When was there ever a world where there was like this filtered version of Donald Trump? It doesn't exist. Get it out of your head. Giano Caldwell joins me next to confirm this. Across America with Jimmy Failla, 888-788-9910. Everybody thinks Washington is going to turn into a Real Housewives of New Jersey episode this coming Wednesday, January the 20th. Vice President Mike Pence assures us that will not be the case. Here is clip five.
Our aim here, the American people can be confident, is that we're going to ensure that we have a safe inauguration, that President-elect Joe Biden, Vice President-elect Kamala Harris are sworn in as the new President and Vice President of the United States in a manner consistent with our history, with our traditions, in a way that gives honor to the American people and to the United States.
So there you go. That's Mike Pence saying everything's going to be fine. Nobody's out there advocating violence within Republican leadership. No one is doing any of the things they're being characterized as doing by the media. That's the issue right now. Okay, we all condemn the Capitol. I don't spend a lot of time on that condemning that violence because I was condemning violence before it was cool. We spent June, July, and August condemning violence on this show, saying, hey, this isn't good. This isn't acceptable. This isn't how you get your voice heard. But in the Democratic Party, it was. That was the playbook. If you remember, Kamala Harris was not only bailing people out of jail, but she was telling our news media that these people weren't going to stop and they shouldn't stop, even after the election. So we should get used to it because the violence was here to stay. That's what we were told. And now last week we have, you know, something horrific that we've all roundly condemned. But the performative pearl clutching by the left, it's a little silly. But they're essentially trying to mask, and I've been saying this, they're trying to mask power as progress. They're using these calls to unity, these calls to progress, these calls to censorship online as a Trojan horse to get them more power. They're framing it as progress. Oh, we'll all be better off. But you know who will really be better off if all of these things go into place? The Democratic Party.
He knows what he's talking about.
Conservatives getting thrown off social media left and right now. But our next guest who joins me in this moment, probably less concerned with getting banned by Twitter and more concerned about getting banned by Tinder. Fox News contributor Giano Caldwell returns to the show. Hey, man.
See, it's been so long since you've had me on. Mm-hmm. I'm in a healthy, happy relationship with a wonderful young lady. So
stop
I'm
it.
Not even on Tinder.
What do you mean? I'm married. I'm on Tinder. I'm kidding. Hey, good for you. Wow, that's good.
Yes, sir.
That's good, man. You know what, man? Everybody right now, especially in these corona times and all this, you know, ridiculous lockdowns and stuff, if you have somebody you like being around, it's a home run. The problem is if you bet your money on the wrong horse in life and you got locked down 9 months ago, there are people, you know, who gambled and lost on this strategy that you're going with. You know that, right?
Well, I'm
you're winning.
Completely aware of that. And honestly, I was kind of surprised when you asked me to come on the show because I thought maybe a zombie apocalypse snapped you up by now, but apparently not. So,
oh, buddy, we love having
a rough, rough time for a lot of people. Honestly,
mm-hmm.
You know, I was just hanging out with some of our colleagues, David Webb and Lisa Booth, because we're all in Miami now because we escaped these very liberal cities like New York, mm-hmm. or for me, Los Angeles. To get to the most free state in America right now. Florida is the best state in America. People have a little more ability to kind of resume their life as usual because you don't have a governor and elected officials that are using the lockdowns for political purposes, as you see in other places like Chicago. And, of course, New York Governor's Chris Cuomo, Andrew Cuomo said, we have to open back up because there would be nothing left. Right.
Yes.
When Biden jumps into office, and then you can say the economy rebound under Biden. That's the whole point of it.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. So were these lockdowns, Giano, in your mind, they were purely political lockdowns?
Absolutely. Well, not all of them.
Okay.
So initially there was a lot of people who just didn't understand how to handle it. This was an unprecedented event for governors and elected officials all across the country. So you understand that. Then you look at places like L.A., which were locking down restaurants with no data to suggest that it was necessitous,
mm-hmm.
or even in New York. And then places like Chicago, whereas my younger brother, my kid brother, got a letter from the school or email from the school, rather, saying, hey, you're going to be locked down into November. I think it was exactly the day after the election. Then you got to go back to class. So, you know, you look at those kind of things and you wonder – the why.
Yes.
I mean, even in the state of, I think it was the L.A. County Health Director of some sort, she said, hey, you know, we're going to keep things locked down until after the election. Like, these are things that have leaked out.
Yeah.
And we see that certainly, in some cases, it was politics.
Yeah.
Certainly it was.
100%. And it drives me crazy because there's never an accountability factor. Like Ron DeSantis in Florida, who did keep his state open, was, of course, portrayed as a guy who was conducting an experiment in human sacrifice. I mean, the things that have been said, right? Yeah. The things that have been said about him, and now they're all adapting his methods. Like, don't they kind of owe him, you know, like if you do a cover of somebody's songs, you kick him a royalty. Should DeSantis get some, like, publishing rights from these other governors?
Yeah, he absolutely should get an apology and a lot more things. But what we've seen from the left thus far is they have no interest in honest debate. They have no interest in integrity in a lot of cases. Now, clearly not every Democrat is like this. So let me say this isn't everyone, but a lot that we've seen with the big microphones like Nancy Pelosi, AOC, and others, they've become very deceptive, or rather they've always been deceptive, and we're just seeing much more of it.
Yeah.
Even Jack Dorsey of Twitter, like how disgusting is the policy to ban the president of the United States, but you have literal terrorists that are on social media,
yes,
and you do absolutely nothing about it. You allow them to stay online and push out their propaganda. No problem. Why? Because they're not Donald Trump. So
think about
it's a troubling place to be in our country, and a lot of folks are looking themselves in the mirror and saying, hey, this isn't the country that I grew up in, and this isn't the country that I want to live in. And that's how bad things have gotten, I believe.
Yeah, it is. It's a scary time. If you're just joining us, Gianno Caldwell is on the line. We're talking about some Twitter hypocrisy, which it is interesting. I mean, you know, there are people right now actively tweeting in leadership positions in Iran that we need to blow Israel off the map. I mean, if you're concerned about violence, that's a pretty violent statement, no?
Yeah, I would agree. And I've been talking about this all over my podcast, Out Loud with Gianno Caldwell. Newt Gingrich is my executive director.
Can I cut you off for a second? Let me just cut you off, because I have plugged that pod on the show, and everyone's excited about it. My question for you is a Newt question, because Newt has been on the show a few times. Did he ever make it out of the embassy in Rome, or is life just too good there to come home?
No, Newt is actually, from what I understand, he's actually coming back to the States.
Oh,
I'm sure he's excited to, because there's going to be a lot of work needed to turn this country around. We got to win back the House in 2024, and we know that the policies that are going to come out of the Biden administration are probably going to be so scary for so many Americans that they're going to say, forget it, I'll support Republicans. But Republicans got to get tough when it comes to mail-in balloting. They got to get tough when you're talking about verification. Mm-hmm. The Democrats saw what a success it was to do ballot harvesting, and they're going to try to continue, and they're going to try to do it at a federal level by pushing policy throughout all 50 states and, of course, territories. So Republicans need to get tough and find a backbone, because they've not found one in a while. And it's so unfortunate, but we have to do something, because we got to get back to the former glory years where we as a country could say things without being canceled.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about racist things. I'm talking about you can speak your mind, because right now, if you say anything that they don't like, they're putting you on a targeted list, especially in the spaces in which you and I work in, Jimmy.
Yes.
They're putting you on a list to try to embarrass you and make you unemployable. So this is a new era, and it's a very unfortunate one, but we got to get back to our roots, and Republicans need to stand up and start fighting. Not physical fighting, not violence, not rioting, certainly none of those things, but fighting for our principles.
Yes, and I agree there. And I think you would probably agree. You know, back in the day, we all made fun of Tom from MySpace, that CEO who was your immediate friend. But he was our friend. Tom never did us like this, Gianno.
I wonder what's going on with Tom. Somebody has to Google. I'm sure there's been articles recently written on it.
Yeah. Tom is laughing at us. Tom is on an island he probably owns just laughing. Oh, Facebook, huh? Yeah, good luck with that. How's that working out for society? Oh, Twitter, really?
Exactly.
Tom's having a great time.
Losing market cap like crazy over there at Twitter.
Well, they should be. I mean, it's a dirtbag move, because I don't have a problem with them as a private company having policies that they expect people to adhere to. But if you're not enforcing it consistently, then you are, in fact, interfering with our democracy. And that's what the Hunter Biden story was, too. It was election interference, because they are the public square, even as a private company. I got to get you in
on this.
You've always given me you've always given me the straight shot on issues of race, and I want to ask you about one. In the aftermath of the Capitol, Biden and Kamala made a great effort to remind us that the situation would have been far worse had these been Black Lives Matter protesters. Are they kind of race baiting by injecting a hypothetical into a situation that didn't involve what they want us to debate?
Well, the truth of the matter is, in this situation, you can already look at facts that have played out over the summer at the White House when they tried to, folks, and I'm not saying these are all Black Lives Matter protesters, but there's been numerous protests that have gone on across the country where people weren't dying for protesting. So would that have happened if Black Lives Matter protesters had stormed the Capitol? I don't have any evidence to support support that it would have been far worse, or a lot of people would have been dead, because we've seen protests all over the country, and in cases at the Capitol, in cases when people were trying to storm the White House, and folks were still living.
Yes.
So with that being the case, I just have no evidence to support that. I understand that it sounds like a really good talking point, and I think it resonates with African Americans, because the African Americans, it's been many, many years of fear-based thinking around police officers. And I'm not saying that some of it hasn't been earned by law enforcement. Some of it has been earned by law enforcement. But in this case, absolutely not. I don't believe that it would have been different, and it would have been a lot of Black folks shot and killed at the Capitol. No. I don't believe that.
No, I agree with you, too. And I think, you know, the key point you make there is that there's no evidence to support that statement. But that doesn't matter to them. And that's my biggest concern, is that, like, and you know this, man, we're living at a time where people's emotions are their facts. The Democrats get people emotional, so that becomes factual to them. And when you're making people emotional along the lines of race, you know, when you, it's really setting up for a toxic situation, because obviously the people getting emotional about race are good, well-intended people. These aren't bad people that you're getting emotional. These are good people who want equality, who want a safe and just world. And if you keep telling them we don't have one, you know, it's not surprising that we see the things we see. So people like you who are honest about this, you're helping us more than I even want to admit to you, because you know we like to give each other a hard time.
I appreciate it. I appreciate the questions, because they do need to be asked, and I think these kind of conversations are necessary. But the left has, for decades and decades, have used race and racism as a vehicle to accomplish their political goals. We know that. We've seen it. Mm-hmm. We've seen them make all kind of commentary about what's racist when, in fact, it wasn't. Mm-hmm. So we have to be honest partakers of this discussion and dialogue, but we also got to call out lies when they exist. And I think that's also important, because if you continue to let a lie be the truth, then you're going to have a lot of people decepted, a lot of people who are really in their feelings because they feel that they're being harmed or violated, when in fact something can be a total lie.
Totally, totally spot on. That is the kind of expert analysis you would get on Out Loud with Gianno Caldwell, a superstar podcast. I understand you might be leaving the country for a little while. You have such a good racket, man. Every time I call you, in a different state, on a different plane. We got to hook up when you come back, though. And we do have to get your buddy on, too. I should tell the listeners, one of your great pals is the CEO of a marijuana company. We've been meaning to get to this, because there's never been probably a stronger case for the whole country needing to smoke a joint than right now.
Well, he's actually not the CEO of a marijuana company. He does packaging for them. So
even better. Drop a few off the assembly line and pass them our way, man. Come on, Gianno.
He doesn't touch the plant. But, you know, that's a whole other conversation. But certainly, I'm just it seems like a good time to leave the country now. way things are going, I think it's a good time to get away.
It's so funny. Spot on.
But always glad to return back to a country that I love dearly and would give my heart and soul for. So I'm excited. So folks who are listening, please follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Gianno Caldwell, G-I-A-N-N-O, Caldwell, C-A-L-D-W-E-L-L. And if Parler is back around, I'm on there too. So thank you.
Hey, everything gets a sequel these days. We'll probably get – I mean, even impeachment got a sequel. There's no original ideas in Hollywood
MySpace
anymore.
MySpace may get one too. MySpace may get one as well. Tom is thinking,
We need Tom. We need Tom more than ever. Great work, Gianno. Catch up with you soon.
Thank you so much.
My man, there he goes. Gianno Caldwell. Telling it like it is. He's not lying. when he says he has no facts to support this idea that the violence would have been worse if it were different protesters. There are no facts to back that up. But the Democrats, they say it anyway.
What the hell is the world coming to?
Back after this.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
He is one of those iconic figures that fans care about.
Across America with Jimmy Failla, doing the damn thing, as the kids like to say. We were just talking about Tom from MySpace, Josh Harmon, superstar engineer, just sent me a funny meme. Tom Anderson, MySpace Tom. I don't even know that this is his real account, but I'm guessing it is.
It's him. It's got the blue check.
Wow, it is. Enjoying the good life. New hobby, photography. Tom posted a meme last week when the president was banned from Twitter that says MySpace Tom about to get a new friend. And it's a picture of Trump logging on to MySpace, which is pretty funny. I think that's actually pretty funny, Tom from MySpace. Not everybody might agree with me on that one.
Get him out of here. Get him out.
Yeah, the president doesn't appreciate it. But you know what? The president's going to go somewhere and be active on social media post-presidency. That's probably something I can tell you. With good authority that is being worked out as we speak. What the Democrats doing in this moment right now is they're just trying to get as much, squeeze as much political gain out of this moment, this unrest that we feel around the country as they can. They get there's no, you know, there's no long con. The impeachment's a dead end. It's not going to work. The Senate's not going to vote with a two-thirds majority to convict him and throw him out. You want to know why I know that? Because he'll already be out, number one. Number two, this is about a new measure that probably might not be constitutional, according to Alan Dershowitz, who's as brilliant of a legal mind as there is in this world. He was on our show yesterday, and he said exactly that. You're trying to convict a guy after who's not a president from ever running for president again. By that metric, they could impeach me, so I can never run for president. Hey, let me save you the trouble. You don't have to impeach me. Just run a halfway decent background check. The public will see to it that a guy like me don't run.